We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Coast to Coast with Karina Mustafa and Calvin Wetzel on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. We've got a lot of college basketball to get into today because we have our conference tournaments coming up very, very soon. We're going to go through all of that. We're going to talk a little bit about Caitlin Clark, especially since she finally declared for the WNBA draft. I say finally, although she did it pretty early, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. And then finally, at the end, we'll preview some more teams that we're kind of looking out for and give some love to Athletes Unlimited. Calvin, you ready?
Yes. It's March. It's our first episode of March. This is my favorite month of the year every year. These next few weeks, my favorite time of the year for basketball. Conference tournaments starting as we release this pod on Tuesday. They're going to be starting in like 2 hours on 11 a.m. on Tuesday with the Sun Belt, which is why I had to wear a Coastal Carolina shirt, because Coastal Carolina is kicking us off this week with the Sun Belt tournament for no other reason than I go Coastal Carolina. But I am so ready. I'm so ready for these next few weeks, and I'm so ready to talk about it on this pod.
Absolutely. We are officially into March Madness month. And to kick that off, we're going to start with Caitlin Clark, because it's been the week of Caitlin Clark. That's kind of what I named our headline of the week. She declared for the WNBA draft in this graphic here, if you're watching on YouTube, which I was like, thank God she did this early. She did it before the tournament started. Nobody could have any questions about whether or not she was coming back for her fifth year. Maybe what was your like gut reaction to seeing her post that? Because I know mine was, let's go.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised. You're right. It was a little bit earlier than I think we see a lot of players do it, but I'm sure she just wanted to kind of, I don't want to say get it out of the way, but focus on, you know, what her team needs in these next few months in terms of the Big Ten tournament and NCAA tournament, and not really have everybody asking her about that all the time and distracting from the Iowa's tournament run. So good for her. And obviously, like, huge day for the Fever, who are going to be able to pair her with Aaliyah Boston.
Shout out to their social media team, because they were on it. As soon as she declared, they were posting tickets. They were posting just like all these graphics. So I was like, shout out to them. They were ready.
They were, you know, if I remember correctly, they didn't do quite the same level of that for Aaliyah Boston, which you would have probably liked to see last year. But yeah, obviously capitalizing on this is something that they should be doing. So definitely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then we had a couple from Caitlin's senior day game. We had a couple of things that we wanted to talk about. Firstly, there was this stat line that was posted by Iowa She recorded her 17th career triple-double. She surpassed Lynette Woodard, who was at her senior day game, becoming the all-time leading scorer in major women's college basketball. And as we know, language is so important when it comes to that, especially with all the conversations that we've been having surrounding Caitlin and Lynette and Pearl Moore as well in the last couple of weeks. She also broke the NCAA single season three-pointers made record. And just like all of these other amazing, amazing stats to just kind of show how cool and awesome and a star of a player Caitlin Clark is. And speaking of stars, there was somebody else that showed up to Caitlin's game. And her name is none other than Maya Moore. And for those, I'm sure everyone listening to this podcast knows who Maya Moore is. But a couple of people told on themselves on Twitter when she did come out to her game. And if you don't know who Maya Moore is, I'm about to educate you. She is a four-time WNBA champion. She was drafted first by the Lynx. I think it was in 2011. I have the year. Yeah, 2011, when she also won Rookie of the Year. She is a WNBA MVP. She's a WNBA Finals MVP. She's a six-time WNBA All-Star, three-time WNBA All-Star Game MVP, five-time All-WNBA First Team, two-time All-WNBA Second Team, two-time WNBA All-Defensive Second Team, WNBA Steals Leader in 2018, WNBA Scoring Leader in 2014. There's literally so many accolades. And as we all know, she retired early to kind of focus on social justice, which I know a lot of people were obviously, like, really proud of, like, what she was doing. But honestly, like, she's probably one of the greatest players in basketball history. And I just think to, like, I'm just sad that I missed her era of basketball, you know, being super young and just not being able to watch women's basketball at that point. But I think, like, it's so important to just, like, remember and talk about her and her accolades and just, like, the player that she was, because you could see it on Caitlin's face when she showed up. Like, she said multiple times that Maya Moore is her favorite player, and she was like a seven-year-old kid on Christmas morning opening up her presents. That's exactly the face, exactly the scream and the giggles that she had when Maya walked in. But Cal, like, just how cool was that moment? And maybe, like, rate Caitlin's little screams. She had, like, two screams in that video. It was, like, the first one when she first walked in, and then she had a second one when she was still processing that Maya Moore was standing, like, right in front of her.
She couldn't contain it. She was so giddy, as she should be. You listed all those accomplishments, and it took so long.
And I'm not even through the whole list. Like, there's, yeah, like, that's barely half. Like,
you could go forever. And she did all that by the time she was how old? 28, 29, however old she was.
Yeah.
Like, she was in her prime. And we can, obviously, commendable what she did, but we could talk about her as, like, a potential GOAT if she had played as long as, you know, a lot of players. So she might have been on that trajectory. We'll never know. But seeing that legacy and seeing, you know, like, current young stars go kind of revert back to, like, seven-year-old mode, like you said, even though usually they're kind of on the other end of it, and we see all the time shots of Caitlin giving autographs to seven-year-olds and being on the opposite end of that interaction, and to see her on the kind of little giddy kid side of that interaction was really cool. And it kind of just shows how these things are passed on from generation to generation. And some kid that Caitlin has inspired today is 15 years from now, that's going to happen again. You know, the ball is going to keep rolling. So, I mean, that was really cool to me. And I love that they brought Maya Moore out for this game. I love that Lynette Woodard was there for this game as well. I think that was really important for her to be there and to be acknowledged. So all around, like, yeah, that all that stuff was just incredibly fun to watch.
Yeah, and it also kind of makes you realize how young Caitlin actually is when you put things in perspective. Like, I feel like there's all these expectations that are now being placed on her. Like, you know, there's people calling her the best college women's basketball player in the country. Obviously, like, is projected to be number one in the WNBA draft and kind of has all these expectations placed on her, especially with, like, a lot of conversations surrounding, like, how she might perform when she hits the WNBA. And you just kind of have to stop sometimes and be like, she's in her early 20s. Like, she is still very much like, I'm in my early 20s and I don't know if I could ever cope with that amount of like attention and expectations. And so when you see her like interacting with people like Maya Moore, like it kind of makes you realize, oh, like she really is still super young. And to have this kind of, yeah, like expectation kind of placed on her, like as a role model, like, and she is already a role model. I think it's like, it's so huge for the growth of women's basketball, but then also just remembering that like there's so much time in front of them and their careers. And like, I'm so excited to see how that continues to like grow and develop. But yeah, did you have any other thoughts on just like the weekend that was with Caitlin Clark, maybe some other things that kind of happened basketball wise?
I like how you're setting me up to sorry, rant here.
I couldn't think of a good one, but you know.
Yeah, you nailed it. I was at the game. I don't know if I mentioned that yet. And
you did not. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, it was a great experience. Had a blast. Obviously, I love being in person basketball for, you know, especially when the environment is so lit like that. And in college game day, got there early enough for that. The one thing I want to just like get on my soapbox about, and then hop back off and talk about the positive stuff that, you know, we've mentioned. The technical fouls, like, come on. When you look at the one on Cody McMahon and the one on Ricky Harris, and then the one that Caitlin Clark didn't get, what's the excuse? I don't get it. Like, it's the same thing. And I'm not even saying that like Caitlin Clark should have got a technical. I don't think any of them should have got a technical. I just, like, we got to be better about this stuff when it comes to like how we officiate white players and black players. And especially, I think like Caitlin Clark, her positive impact is undeniable on the sport. I also think she gets the benefit of a really good whistle. And she is one of few players who I think even gets that on the road. Yesterday, obviously being at home helped her in that regard. But when I went and watched them at Nebraska a few weeks ago, I think she got that same type of whistle where if it's, you know, anything remotely debatable, it's going to go her way. And I would just love to see us like be better about what if, I don't know. I don't even know how to say it. Like, Cody McMahon didn't deserve that technical in the same way that Caitlin Clark didn't deserve the technical. And Caitlin Clark didn't get one, rightfully so. I don't know why we had to give Cody one, but I definitely just think it's a problem in this sport, and it really bothered me a lot. But I also had a really fun time being in a cool environment on a big stage and a special moment, and seeing all the stuff we talked about, Maya Moore, Lynette Woodard, and just like Caitlin breaking the overall record, which we haven't mentioned yet. You know, she broke the women's record, but the women's and men's record, Pete Maravich, that was fun. Again, though, she broke it on the technical free throws, which I feel like just put a cloud over it. Like, that shouldn't have happened. But it's not like she wasn't going to break it anyway in the third quarter. So, whatever. It was a really fun game, and it was a cool moment for women's basketball. And I think it's just, like, tainted a little bit. And, going back to the national championship last year, I feel like where Caitlin Clark did get a technical, actually, the one time where I feel like it did go the other way. But and I didn't think that one was warranted either. Sometimes like these really big moments in women's basketball, I feel like are sort of dampened a little bit by this officiating that, and I don't even like when officials miss calls or whatever, like that they're going to miss. If you play basketball long enough, you're going to be on the right end of that and on the wrong end of that sometimes. And like, that's how it goes. They're going to miss a foul call or this or that. It's just the technicals. That's what gets me. I don't even really need to like get up here and complain about missed calls and other aspects of officiating, but just like be better about letting women have emotions. Like that's what it comes down to me, and especially black women.
Yeah, absolutely. And there were like a couple of things, like it was the reffing, and then also like Lynette being there was great, but there was this one thing that she said about how she could only have her moment because Caitlin's having hers. And I think like, it's a bit sad almost that, you know, it would have to be that way. And I'm hoping that like we can start to get to a place where women's basketball history is talked about and is properly resourced and shared. Like Across the Timeline is a great resource, and we've talked about them before, is a great resource when it comes to looking for stuff like that. You know, like it's just, it's sad when like legends of the sport who are still very much with us feel like they can't have their moments unless like something is happening now. And like they like, and I saw, this is actually another, maybe I should go on the soapbox too, but like I saw a lot of people, I saw a lot of people saying that now that when Caitlin declared for the draft, they were like adding the WNBA and being like, oh, so are you gonna let Caitlin fly commercial? And I understand like the intention behind that, but I'm also just like, do we not have a league full of players who deserve the same type of energy? Have we not been advocating for this for like literally like more than a decade for them to be able to not fly commercial and have chartered flights and just receive the same amount of resources that every professional league has? But just because a player who hasn't even entered the league yet, and I understand like she pulls a lot of attention, just because she's entering, all of a sudden it becomes, oh, well, we're not going to let Caitlin fly commercial. No. We're not going to let the entire WNBA fly commercial. And as we know, like CBA negotiations are coming up soon. And I just feel like we need to have just the entire league in terms of just advocating for them, in terms of them advocating for each other. And I don't know, stuff like that is like very tricky. And that's kind of also where the expectations part on Caitlin kind of comes into play too, because it's like, how much is she going to be expected to carry? Just being like a senior college player who is trying to like win the tournament and then enter her professional career while still like learning kind of the ins and outs of everything. But, and there's also just like what the stuff that comes with having a platform. So like, it's not black and white, like in terms of just like, what is the right answer? But there is some stuff that kind of irks me. And like that stuff with Lynette too, I just think like, it's great that women's basketball is rising, but like, I think we also need to take some time and like some reflection into some of the stuff that's already been happening. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. No, 100%. Well said.
Okay, good, good. I'm glad. But overall, you know, very cool weekend. I think honestly, like a lot of senior games this last weekend that were really cool. South Carolina also, can we just talk about them real quick? Like another Please. Undefeated regular season. Are you kidding? Like in a year where everybody was saying that they were going to be rebuilding and they do not drop a single game and they just seem to be getting better and better and better. Like that is back-to-back undefeated seasons is so impressive. And like they are the team to beat right now. I know there's like so many competitive teams, but like, and the people who call it boring, I don't understand this. Like, I don't understand this. Going undefeated is not boring because now you're just like, okay, who is going to be the first team to defeat the undefeated team? Or is South Carolina just going to continue to have a record-breaking season and go on and go all the way and be like the greatest team ever? So I don't know. I think it's a lot of fun. I don't understand like a lot of the negativity surrounding that on Twitter, but you know, that's how the app kind of goes sometimes. But did want to give a shout out to Don Staley and the South Carolina Gamecocks because it's just like, and I tweeted about this. I was like, excellence. Like, this is excellence. This is elite basketball and an elite culture that they are building. And I don't know. I just love it.
You're right. It actually makes the close games more interesting, not more boring, because there's a lot more on the line when anyone comes within single digits of them, which we've only seen a few times. But I'm not going to like try to sit here and pretend like I would have had South Carolina number one in the preseason, but the rebuilding, like throwing out the word rebuilding to me was always just like stupid because it's Dawn Staley. Like Dawn doesn't rebuild it, when you're,
she's always building. Coach,
exactly. There's no part of it. Like it's just, she's been building the whole time she's been there and mm-hmm. she has built already and gotten them to this point. And I think we've talked about it on this pod before, but the way that even in like an era where transferring is much more prevalent, the way that Dawn Staley develops these relationships with her players and builds this sort of culture there to where you can come in as a highly, highly touted, talented freshman and not start or not play nearly as many minutes right away as you would on almost any other team in the country, and realize, okay, my time is coming. I don't need to book it somewhere else, you know, after my freshman year. And that's why she doesn't need to rebuild, because her teams are so deep and she has all this talent on the bench, and she can lose all of her starters or whatever, like what happened last year. And she has all sorts of top 25 recruits waiting in the wings that she has built relationships with, to where those recruits were okay coming off the bench behind Aaliyah Boston and behind, you know, Bria Beal and all of these players. And they know, all right, next year, that's going to be me. So I'm sticking around, and we're seeing the fruits of that this year.
Yeah. And then last thing on this, before we talk about some conference tournament previews, just like, I don't know if you saw the video of them reuniting Camila Cardoso with her mom and her sister after like 8 years apart. That video, if you want to cry, if you feel like crying today, go to the South Carolina Gamecocks social media and go watch it. That was just, it was very touching. And again, speaks to the relationships that Dawn Staley builds with like her players and the players that she gets on her team. But yeah, just wanted to mention that real quick, because it's a tearjerker. All right, let's get to some Power Conference tournament previews. As we said, it's a very busy month, so let's get to it.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, SEC tourney. Let me pull up the graphic if you're watching on YouTube. Cal, do you have any favorite matchups or potential matchups that we could see, any teams that you're kind of eyeing? It will be from March 6th to 10. Yeah, go ahead. Which teams are you looking forward to?
Couple matchups that both would be in the semifinals if they happen. If these four teams make the semifinals, that day is going to be on a Saturday, is going to be awesome basketball doubleheader. South Carolina, of course, number one, who we just talked about, versus number five, Tennessee. Of course, Tennessee would have to win a couple games to get there. South Carolina would have to win a game too, but I think South Carolina is going to be there. If that happens, we've seen Tennessee, for all the struggles that they've had, play South Carolina pretty well twice, as well as anyone can really play them, which still ends up resulting in 7, 8, 9 point losses. But yesterday, Sunday, we saw it again. And I would love to see a third matchup with these teams, because again, it would not be boring, I don't think. And Ricky Jackson has played really well, I think, against South Carolina. Tamari Key, interior defense, now that she's kind of come on and been in the starting lineup, I think has been a big deal for Tennessee. So I love to see that one. And then on the other side, the 2-3, if we get that, LSU versus Ole Miss, obviously all the talent that LSU has, and Ole Miss playing fantastic basketball right now. Coach Yeo has them on a 6-game win streak. The last four have been blowouts. They just beat Arkansas by 44 on Sunday. So they're playing,
what a
as
number.
The cliche says, their best basketball at the right time. They're peaking when you want to be peaking. It's March. And I think LSU would have their hands full in that matchup. So I'm really excited if we get those matchups on Saturday in the SEC. I'm definitely looking forward to the semis.
Love it. Yeah, and like we've talked about the SEC with our guest, Ari Chambers, recently, where she was like, SEC is like you have your elite teams at the top. And like these are just some of them that I'm excited to watch. I know we're all excited to watch. So that's going to be from Wednesday, March 6th to Sunday, March 10th. And like Cal said, if we get these teams, that semifinal Saturday might be very, very exciting. All right, let's go to the Big East tourney. Let me put up the bracket over here. Cal, what are your favorite matchups or potential matchups that we could see?
Yeah, this is one I'm actually looking forward to, a matchup that we get for sure, right? Right away, you see there, number 4 versus number 5 on March 9th, whatever day that is. Villanova versus Marquette. Villanova won both regular season matchups basically at the buzzer, down to the wire. Liza Carlin for Marquette had a shot to tie it in both of those games. Didn't hit either one. I'm sure Marquette is licking their chops at getting a third shot at that, because they know they could have had at least one of those. And Marquette, they're in the tournament right now, but they would love to get a win here just to eliminate any doubt. So to me, this is probably the matchup of the first couple days of the tournament there. When you look at the matchups that are already set, this is the one that I'm highlighting.
Love it. I'm excited to see also maybe how Georgetown does as well too. I know they've battled a lot this season, so I'm excited to see if they can maybe make a semifinal run. I feel like they could have it in them.
They got a shot.
All right, let's go to Big 12 tourney from, let me pull up the bracket, from March 7 to March 12. And I know this one, the schedule of it kind of threw you off a little bit. So if you want to talk about that for a second and then give us your teams to watch.
Yeah, I've been following college basketball for a long time, and I kind of have gotten into the rhythm of how stuff works, when different conference tournaments are, when, you know, this happens and that happens. And the Big 12 threw me off this year because they added teams. And next year, forget about it. I'm going to have no clue what's going on, as you said when we were texting, because all of the conference realignment in the Pac-12 is gone. Mm-hmm. And some of these conferences aren't even going to have every team in the conference make the conference tournament anymore. You're going to have 18 teams and only 15 make it. And I'm going to be completely lost. But when you set up this doc for like what dates these were, and I looked at Big 12, I was like, wait a minute, Thursday to Tuesday, I don't remember it being like that, because the Big 12 used to be the week after all the other power conferences in women's basketball, and now it's starting this Thursday. But again, because the Big 12 expanded, you see these new teams here. The three new teams are, not that surprisingly, I would say, all on the left side of your bracket there: Houston, UCF, and Cincy. But there's a fourth, BYU. I'm sorry, BYU, if I forgot about you. BYU did get that single bye. My bad. But anyway,
more
that,
like,
threw me off.
Bye, YU. Am I right?
Oh, we made it 25 minutes without a pun. Had to get one in there.
That was horrible. It's okay. Keep going.
You got me losing my train of thought, Cree. Well, I don't even know what I was saying. Matchups I'm looking forward to. There we go. This is why we do the notes thing on the doc, to keep us sane on this pod. I don't even have a matchup I would say that I'm looking forward to as much as like a couple teams that I'm just kind of watching here. I'm watching TCU because we've talked about them on this pod before. They played really well to start the season, and then everything just completely blew up because their whole team got hurt and they had open tryouts, and we saw how that went. And they still have some injuries. Obviously, Jaden Owens was out for the year, but Madison Connor has been back for a few games now. Sedona Prince has been back for a couple games. They've been playing better. They did lose to West Virginia, but they have some of their key pieces, and they are starting to play better again. So I'm interested to see how they do. You know, I definitely think they can beat Oklahoma State here, and then they're going to get a real test if that happens against Oklahoma, who won the league. So that's one I'm watching. And then the other team I'm watching is Kansas, because I think you talk about how hot Oklahoma was in this league and that stretch that they went on to win the league after some early season struggles. Kansas, I think, quietly basically was the second hottest team in this league for all of February, and then came in just a couple days ago and knocked off Oklahoma in that last game of the regular season. I think Kansas is playing their best basketball, like Ole Miss right now, and a team that could really make some noise in this tournament. I think if they get past BYU, they could knock off Texas in that next game. I think
hot take. I love it.
I'm not saying it's going to happen. I think it could happen. I think it's going to be a good game. And I think Kansas has a real shot. We'll go ahead and make it a hot take. Kansas going to, at a minimum, keep that one very, very close. So I'm going to be tuning in. But definitely another exciting tournament.
I like that. I like that. I like the hot takes. So all of that. If you're right, I'm going to clip this. And then you can do your victory lap. So
you can clip it if I'm wrong too and make fun of me. Texas might win by 40 and you can put it all over social media.
Be like, get him. All right. Anyway, so there's Cal's hot take. Kansas could knock off Texas in the tournament if they get past BYU, who you nearly forgot about, but we're going to move on. Let's move on to the Pac-12, which, like you said, obviously not going to be a thing next year and it's going to be a little bit crazy, but Pac-12, as you said in your notes, just be wildin'. Like, I feel like doing any kind of prediction for this is just moot, because anything can happen and any team can beat anybody else. So I'm not going to even do predictions. I'm just going to say one of the matchups in the first round that I'm looking forward to is Washington versus Arizona, because Washington has done pretty well against some of the teams, has had to pull off some really good wins. And Arizona has struggled a little bit, but they've had some important showings the last couple of games of the season. And when they're on, they can beat a team. So that's a matchup that I'm looking forward to. But I know when you were writing down your favorite matchups or potential matchups, you wrote down in capital letters all of them. So if you want to expand on that, go ahead.
I literally did write what Cree said. I wrote all of them in caps, and I just wrote Wilden. That's the extent of my analysis is that.
I love it.
League is,
it's so wilding. True though, like it's so true.
It even when you look at, you know, Washington, Arizona. So to me, like, outside of, you know, not to throw shade on the bottom of the league here, but outside of Arizona State and Oregon, I think when you look at basically the rest of this league, 1 through 10. I think like 80% of the games between those teams have gone to overtime this year. I think that's like,
feels like yeah.
I'm looking at Washington's schedule right now. You were talking about the Washington Arizona game. Last time they played, went to 3 overtimes. Game before that, Washington went to 2 overtimes against Arizona State. 2 games before that, they went to 1 overtime against Stanford. It just feels like that's how this league works. I feel like Washington Arizona, that matchup that we're going to see almost is guaranteed to go to multiple overtimes, and we'll probably get, we need like an over under on overtimes in this.
Just going to say that
league.
Same page.
I don't know how many it is, but I feel like it's going to be like on average, like 1 a game, like we'll get a few regulation games and then we'll get like a few like double, triple overtime games. Cause that's just how this league works. It doesn't make any sense. So. Everyone beats everyone.
Yeah.
Don't have any deeper analysis on this league. Other than chaos,
I'll set the over under at like 4.
All right, 4.5.
Safe. 4.5. Yeah, 4.5.
4.5. All right, I'm hitting the over.
I hope so. I hope we hit the over. But yeah, Pac-12 tournament is from March 6 to 10. Let's move on to our last two for now. First one being Big Ten. Pulling up their bracket here, although it's kind of hard to see if you're watching on YouTube. Cal, you got any fave matchups or potential matchups in this one?
Yeah, we talked about Iowa, and I think two potential rematches with Iowa are kind of the two headliners. If you get Iowa versus Indiana, of course, really hope Mackenzie Holmes is okay for Indiana. I haven't heard about her status yet. You know, left the game on Sunday, but hopefully she's playing and you get an Iowa versus Indiana rematch. And then if Iowa wins, you know, the championship would be lit no matter who's in it. If Iowa wins, you get the Iowa-Ohio State rematch from the game we just talked about and that we just saw. And, of course, Ohio State won the first matchup in overtime earlier this season. So both of those matchups, Iowa and Indiana, Iowa and Ohio State split in the regular season. The home team was 4-0 in those matchups. So now we get a neutral site, although it is Carver North, as they say. Iowa fans probably going to take over the city up in Minneapolis. But no matter who comes out of those, I think getting rematches, getting a rubber match, third matchup between any of those teams is going to be must watch television.
Love it. Love it. And then we have, I don't know if I did this on purpose, but I might have saved another chaotic conference for last, which is the ACC. Let me pull up their graphic here. Man, what are your favorite matches in potential? Because this is very much, I feel like, akin to the Pac-12 one, where you're just like, oh, everybody's just kind of wild. And
it is. The ACC and the Pac-12 have separated themselves to me in the country in terms of like the craziest, most unpredictable, like why even try to understand it type of conferences. So again, I'm not even going to try. I have no predictions, but I am very much looking forward to a potential matchup if we get it between Syracuse and Florida State, 3 versus 6. De'Asia Fair, talked about her a lot on this pod, versus Taniya Latson, two just bona fide buckets going at it. They've played once this year. They combined for over 50. Syracuse came back down double digits at halftime in that game, outscored Florida State 25-11 in the fourth quarter, ended up winning. So that was a really exciting game, and I'm sure it would be even more so on a big stage with so much on the line in the ACC tournament. So definitely one I have circled.
Yeah, and we spoke to Senior Associate Commissioner of the ACC and Women's Basketball, Jackie Carson, last week on Coast to Coast. So if you missed that interview, go check it out. But we talked a lot about De'Asia Fair, about how she's not fair, about the ACC in general. So if you need some kind of primer heading into this tournament, which will be from, oh, did I put the date down here? Maybe not. Maybe I didn't. It's around this. Oh, it is March 6th to 10th. The ACC tournament. If you need some kind of primer before then, make sure you go check out that interview as well. But yeah, so much tournament play about to start very, very soon. Are you excited to have college basketball on even more, Cal, as it gets a little bit more exciting?
I could not be more excited. I can't even tell you how excited I am for these next few weeks. Honestly, like, I love the NCAA tournament, best time of year, but conference tournaments the couple weeks prior are at least as exciting to me, because you have hundreds and hundreds of teams all competing for the same thing. So many of them with their seasons on the line, and you wake up 10, 11 a.m. and there's like significant, meaningful basketball happening in like 5 different places around the country already. You know, you have like all sorts of top 25 matchups and like bubble matchups going on. And then it just keeps going at 2 p.m. and at 5 p.m. and all day. And then you do it again the next day and the next day. And it's just nonstop, and I can't get enough. So I don't know if you can tell I'm excited.
In other words, I'm
hiding it.
Yeah, for the YouTube watchers, you can see that Cal's jumping up and down in his seat. If you're listening on audio, then go check us out on YouTube as well, too. But all that to be said, that if you want to make plans with either me or Cal, it's not happening, because you will be watching basketball. Unless it's a watch party.
You text me in April.
But after the championship weekend. Yeah, yes. Anyway. So don't hit us up unless you're watching Coast to Coast. Let's go to our final segment. Some extra games to watch, plus some love to Athletes Unlimited. Cal, I know you have another specific tournament that you kind of want to get to and some teams to show love to.
Yeah, we talked about the power conferences, but I do think the Atlantic 10 tournament is one that we should be watching, because this is a possible two-bid league, which is not – mid-majors don't always have that opportunity, but they got a shot. Richmond and St. Joseph's are on the bubble right now, and you see Richmond at the top there on your bracket, number one. St. Joe's in the number three spot. St. Joe's, they might be on the wrong side of it right now. Megan Gower for us has them on the wrong side of the bubble, but on the bubble. And you know, they would love to just eliminate all doubt, obviously, and win this thing. If they make the championship and lose to Richmond, they're going to give the committee a lot to think about. And then Richmond, you know, is really just wants to punch their ticket as well. So we'll see how those teams do. I think those two in particular. But this league has been really fun. I think go read Mark Schindler, who's written a lot about this league. We had to get him in at least once on the pod. And he's given a lot of love to this league. So go read his stuff. But I just think that this is probably the best mid-major tournament. I'm biased, and I want to say the Missouri Valley tournament is going to be really good too. But the Atlantic 10 is going to be as exciting as it gets outside of the six that we just talked about.
All right. And then do you have anybody else you kind of want to touch on before we talk some Athletes Unlimited?
Yeah, there's an under-the-radar game I want people to watch because there's still some leagues wrapping up their regular season this week as all these bigger leagues get into their conference tournaments. And the WAC is one of those. And they have the last game of the regular season. It's perfect. It comes down to Saturday, California Baptist versus Grand Canyon. At least a share of the title is going to be on the line in this game. California Baptist has one game before, so it either outright or a share, depending on how things go. A few years ago, California Baptist went undefeated in the regular season. This dumb NCAA rule that they were transitioning to D1, the first 4 years that you transition to Division I, you can't make the NCAA tournament, which is a stupid, bogus rule. It doesn't make any sense. They definitely deserved to be in the tournament that year. They literally didn't lose a game. Couldn't. So they had to go to the WNIT, where they made the Final Four, finished their season 24-1. With that Final Four loss in the NIT. But now they have an opportunity. They're past that window. They're past the four-year transition. They could go to the NCAA tournament this year, and they could win the conference regular season as well. But Grand Canyon is an extremely tough matchup. So I think anyone who loves mid-major hoops, that one needs to be on your Saturday radar.
Okay. There you go. And last but certainly not least, we're going to talk some Athletes Unlimited. They are in, I don't even know what number season it is at this point, but
I want to say three.
Is it three? Yeah.
I'm not positive.
Okay. It's, yeah, in the early stages still, but very successful. They just wrapped up week one and wanted to give a shout out to Ari Chambers, who is on the sideline for the first week. She crushed it. Something that I tweeted out too was like, when I watch her on air, like, it's very obvious how comfortable she is and just like being herself, and the players are very receptive to it as well. And I just think like that kind of stuff is awesome, especially for us who are like watching and trying to like integrate as much of that as possible into like our own on-air performances and stuff like that. And Team Gray, Miss Alicia Gray, they took week one. I think you said they went 3-0. If I'm not mistaken, with some pretty solid wins going into week two. I think like three of them are the captains from that team because the teams change every week. So yeah, they've been playing on WNBA League Pass. If you want to watch some Athletes Unlimited basketball games, that's kind of like one of another exciting league to be watching. Another reason for W players to maybe stay in North America during the WNBA offseason and be able to be with their families and all that and not have to go overseas. So yeah, that's been really cool to watch in basketball and volleyball as well, honestly, too. They've been playing in volleyball as well. So yeah, really cool. I think if I want to give another shout out to the Pull Up with Miles and Owen podcast on Winsider. Yeah, because they have a partnership with AU, so they are interviewing players like pretty much every week almost. And they did an interview with Izzy Harrison and her sister, Dory. So please go watch that. It's absolutely incredible. I recommend watching it on YouTube because watching two sisters like and their facial expressions with each other when they're doing an interview is absolutely fantastic. Like, I can't remember if it was Miles or Owen, but one of them asked him a question, and at one point they just kind of looked at each other and they're like, do you want to take this one? How do we answer this one? And it's just like really cool to see stuff like that. Like, Athletes Unlimited is honestly just like another way to just get more stories out in women's hoops, and I just love it. I love it all, and I love what they're doing.
And it's another reason to call off work in March and to not make plans with either of us in March. Just added on top of all the hoops we got on the slate.
There's a lot of basketball happening, and that is only going to get much more in the next couple of weeks. And I'm so excited. If you're a hoops head, you're probably going to be very happy. And Yeah, that's everything. We got conference tournaments coming up. CC declares for the draft and Athletes Unlimited is still going on. We'll make sure to talk even more as the tournaments kind of roll on into the NCAA tournament after that. And we'll see who kind of goes all the way until championship weekend in April. And yeah, that's been Coast to Coast on Her Hoop Stats. Thanks so much for joining us this week. You can find us on social media at Her Hoop Stats, myself at KrinaMM, Calvin at CWetzel31, and we will see you next Tuesday.